Immediately after General P.G.T. Beauregard captured Fort Sumter on 14 April 1861, Washington, D.C. became a den of spies. With a full-scale civil war inevitable, a multitude of Confederate sympathizers in the federal capital began passing information to the new leader and hero of the Southern cause. The majority relayed only unverifiable rumors and hearsay. Colonel Thomas Jordan, however, was an exception. A West Pointer and the quartermaster of General George Winfield Scott, he passed along actionable intelligence critical to the defense of Beauregard's fledgling army. Despite the looming conflict, Jordan shrewdly decided to keep his post while many of his fellow secessionists resigned theirs in order to join the fight for states' rights, romanticized as a second war for independence. In doing so, he became one of the Confederacy's first, if not the first, stay-behind agent. Over the course of a month, he secretly relayed Scott's plans for a blockade of the Confederacy and established a sophisticated network of informants. Only then did he defect to Beauregard with a spy ring in place and secure lines of communication open. The ring's leader was his best informant and former lover, Rose O'Neill Greenhow. It was she who would act as the new Confederacy's eyes and ears in the heart of President Abraham Lincoln's shattered Union during the first year of the American Civil War. At the time, Rose was perhaps the most popular woman in the unfinished capital. Beautiful, rich, and outspokenly pro-Confederate, the Wild Rose, as she was called, had by 1861 lived a life of extraordinary privilege and tragedy. She was born sometime around the year 1814 on a modest tract of farmland dubbed Conclusion near Rockville, Maryland, the third of five daughters of John and Eliza O'Neill. Destined for a meager existence on a small plantation, her future changed dramatically after her father's favorite slave, a young man named Jake, murdered him when she was only three. Her widowed mother raised Rose and her sisters and managed the increasingly cash-poor estate with the help of relatives until her own death around 1830. That year, Rose and her two elder sisters moved to Washington, D.C. to live with her aunt and uncle, Maria and Henry Hill. The Hills owned a fashionable boarding house called the Old Brick Capitol, located on the southeast corner of 1st and A Streets, just northeast of the Capitol building. As its name suggested, the building had in fact served as the temporary U.S. Capitol from 1850 to 1825, while the original was being reconstructed. The British, it will be recalled, had burned the original to the ground during the War of 1812. There, while being educated by her aunt in letters and social graces, Rose became increasingly political thanks largely to the firebrand senator and former vice president, John C. Calhoun, who actually boarded in her family's home while Congress was in session. The connections Rose made through the cast-iron senator, whom she later lauded as the best and wisest man of the century, helped propel her to fame years later. In 1835, Rose married a fellow Southerner, the successful and like-minded Robert Greenhow. A very well-educated Virginian born in 1800, Robert completed his undergraduate work at William and Mary College at the age of 16 and studied medicine at both Columbia University in New York and the University of Edinburgh. While working at hospitals in London and Paris in the early 1820s, he had taken up the study of law at the Sorbonne, become fluent in French and Spanish through the translation and analysis of historical texts. He had returned to the United States in 1825 to start his own medical practice in New York and to pursue interests in historical writing and lecturing. It was while working as a scholar that he became acquainted with Daniel Webster and Edward Livingston. And it was through the latter, later Secretary of State to Andrew Jackson, that he became employed at the State Department in 1828. There he served as a librarian, translator, and interpreter for the next two decades. He published his most acclaimed scholarly work for the department, A History of Oregon and California, in 1844. Throughout the late 1830s and early 1840s, Rose and Robert enjoyed a happy marriage and increasing popularity among Washington socialites. They also became the parents of three daughters, Florence, Layla, and Gertrude. Their only son, Morgan, died tragically in infancy. Rose took an avid interest in her husband's work, often helping him with research at home and sometimes in the field. Richard was required to travel extensively in connection with his job, however, and the two often went months without seeing each other. While away, Richard surveyed undeveloped Western territories using centuries-old journals of French and Spanish explorers as guides. During these long excursions, he frequently wrote passionate declarations of love for Rose in his own journal. The two were very much in love. The long periods of separation ended temporarily in 1841, when Robert took a leave of absence in order to aid his wife's beloved friend, John Calhoun, in his presidential bid, which ultimately proved unsuccessful. Nearly a decade later, the firebrand senator died at the old Capitol boarding house with faithful Rose by his side. In the words of one of her biographers, Mary Charlotte Crook, the future spy saw his death as a challenge to carry on his legacy and champion the cause of states' rights.